Please do sit down. If you are a child or not very tall and you're sitting at the back, please do feel free to stand on chairs. We don't normally stand on chairs, but this is important. If there is space at the front, if you can't sit and want to come to the front, please do. And we're going to pray as we come to God's word. I know that we're all thinking, oh, I'm looking forward to getting to the conservatory. But the Bible says that God's word is sweeter than honey. So should we pray as we look at it together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And particularly this best news of all, that Jesus is risen. Help us to understand it more as we look at your word together. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes when someone delivers a parcel and you look at it and you think, that is an exciting parcel, and you're looking forward to opening the box. Well, I think this looks pretty exciting. How to live forever. I wonder what you think is going to be in this box that is going to help us to beat death. I wonder what you think is going to... Should we open it? Yeah, we've got to open it. It's Easter Sunday. I don't know how you open boxes. I normally use my keys, but I've left mine behind. I have to use brute force. Okay. Okay, let's have a look. First, there's a few things in here. First is a carrot. And I guess eating healthily and living a healthy lifestyle, you know, is good and helps us to live a little bit longer. But it doesn't make us live forever eating carrots, does it? As good as carrots are. Let's try again. This represents friends. Because scientific studies show us that actually one of the things that can help increase our life is by having good friends. Good friends who are there for us helps us to live longer, but it still doesn't help us to live forever, does it? Okay, what else have we got? Okay, a house. Quite a nice looking house. Hands up if you live in Coal Hill, okay, to be honest. Well, did you know, I checked this out, if you live in Coal Hill, you're likely to live 5 years longer than the rest of us. So if you're thinking, you know, how can I live a little bit longer? Able to move to Coal Hill. It's all right for some, isn't it? Might be able to live 5 years longer. Maybe part of that comes down to the thing that actually has probably the biggest effect on how long we live, which is money. And very sadly, actually, around the world, and even in this country, often it's how much money people have that means how long that they will live. And some of the super rich people in the world have tried to use their millions and even their billions to try and think, how can I live forever? How can I reverse the aging process? So if we have the picture up on the screen, I wonder if you thought, who is going to be the first person to defeat death? Who do you think it might be? Maybe you might think someone like Elon Musk. All that money, all that inventiveness, if he can get into space, maybe he's going to be the first person to defeat death. Maybe he'll be the first person to live forever. But actually, the Bible says no. Elon Musk, any of those super rich people, are not going to be the first person to defeat death, because our Bible passage tells us who is the first person who defeated death. The angel was there. What did the angel say? Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So Jesus was the first person to defeat death. He didn't do that by living in Coal Hill or by eating carrots or by being rich. How did Jesus defeat death? Jesus defeated death by dying on a cross. Which is a bit strange, isn't it? You know, if you had to guess all of the ways to defeat death, maybe you'd be thinking medicine or animatronics or something like that. But the way Jesus defeated death was by dying on a cross. And it's even more amazing if you think about it, because, well, Jesus didn't live in a nice place. Jesus actually said he didn't have a place to lay his head. Jesus didn't have a home for much of his life. And yes, Jesus had friends, but what happened right at the end when Jesus was crucified? All his friends ran away from him and left him. And Jesus' last few possessions, he wasn't rich to start with, his last few possessions were gambled away by the soldiers. So Jesus didn't have any of those things. He died aged 30. And yet he was the first person to defeat death by dying on the cross. It's not what we expect, is it? And in fact, because Jesus was the first person to defeat death, because he died on the cross and rose again, it turns our whole world upside down. Now, I wonder if we can have this photo on the screen. I hope you can see it. This is a real photo, and the photo is the right way up. There is a goose out there that can fly upside down. Isn't that amazing? I love the photo, because it reminds me of what we've been learning in Mark's Gospel. If you're visiting today, all the way up to Easter, we've been looking at Mark's Gospel, and Jesus has been teaching us about his upside-down kingdom. And lots of things about his kingdom don't seem to make sense. Jesus says, if you want to be great, it's not by being bossy and having lots of people working for you. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you serve people. You serve everyone. And Jesus says, if you want to be glorious, it's not about having everything your own way. If you want to be glorious, actually true glory is found in suffering, in sacrificing ourselves for other people. So it's like Jesus is turning the whole world upside down in his kingdom. And of course, it was hard for the disciples to get their heads around. It's hard for us to get our heads around, isn't it? How do you live upside down in the world? When you can't stand on your head all the time, can you? What does Jesus mean? How does it work living in Jesus' upside down kingdom? Well, it's when Jesus died and rose again that turned the world upside down, because Jesus was crucified and risen. And the thing is, when we understand that, when we see that Jesus has turned the world upside down, it leaves us with a choice. I guess like that goose has a choice now. Is it going to fly the right way up? Is it going to fly upside down? And in the story, we saw that. So do you remember when the women were coming to the tomb? They were coming in weakness, weren't they? They hadn't been allowed to look after Jesus' body on Good Friday. They had to wait till after the Sabbath. And even when they were coming to the tomb, they weren't even able to open it. They said, how are we going to open the tomb? They were coming in weakness, and they were coming in fear. Because when they saw the angel, they were scared. They came in weakness and fear, but then what happens in the story? They're given the most important news in the world. They're told that Jesus is alive. They're told that he's risen, and they're told to go and tell the disciples about the good news. They're given, coming from weakness to giving this most important job in the world. And the question we're left with is, will they do it? So if you've got one of the Bibles, you'll have noticed that actually Mark's Gospel finishes at verse 8. It's a bit of a cliffhanger. And some people in the early church thought, oh, we know what happens next. We know that they must have told people because that's how the Gospel got out. And so they tried to add a few extra bits and just so that we knew the rest of the story. But Mark's Gospel ends at verse 8. And it's like a cliffhanger, and we'll ask, what's going to happen? And the reason it ends on a cliffhanger is so that we think, well, what are we going to do? It's like we're the women, and we go in weakness and fear, and we see the empty tomb. Well, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to believe? Are we going to tell other people? Will we let Jesus' death and resurrection turn our world upside down? Now, I've got some pictures here. I'd like doing a little bit of painting. Hopefully, you'll be able to see them on the screen if you can't see it. Right, here we go. How do you think the disciples were feeling? The women had been told to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. How do you think the disciples were feeling? Anyone?
Sad.
It's sad, that's right. The disciples were feeling sad. Jesus had died, their friend. Jesus was the light. Jesus was the life. Jesus was love. And it seemed like darkness had won, and hatred had won, and death had won. So of course they felt sad until they heard the news. Because remember, Jesus' resurrection turns the world upside down. Should we turn it the other way up? What do you think it will look like? Joy. Just imagine if you're the disciples and suddenly you're sitting there and you're feeling so sad about Jesus dying. And then the women come in and tell you, Jesus is alive, he's risen, he's going to meet you again. They were so overjoyed. And of course, in our lives, in our world, there's much sadness, isn't there? There's suffering and sickness in our world. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't get sad. We do. And yet, because we're in Jesus' upside-down kingdom, at the same time, we can have incredible joy. Joy at what Jesus has done for us. Joy that death has not won. Joy that love wins, that light wins, that Jesus is alive. So Jesus turns it upside down. Let's try another one, shall we? Here we go. Right. Bit trickier to read. Failures. Because, of course, how were the disciples feeling? They were feeling like failures, weren't they? I'm sorry, I'll come onto the screen. There we go. Failures. I've not written it very clearly. But Jesus' disciples felt like failures because they had all run away. And did you notice? There's a really nice detail in here that you might have not. The angel says, go, tell his disciples and Peter. Why do you think the angel said, go tell his disciples and Peter? Because, of course, Peter was the one who had denied Jesus 3 times. And if they'd have just said, tell the disciples, he would have thought, well, not me anymore. I've given up. But he said, tell the disciples and Peter, who felt like a failure. Now, you're all trying to go like this, aren't you? And try and work this out. The wonderful news is Jesus is alive, and he has changed everything. He's turned everything upside down. Does anyone guess what the word's going to be? Should we turn it over? Should we see what it says? Jesus forgives. Isn't that amazing that Jesus forgives Peter and the disciples? He knew they were going to let him down. He knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times, and yet he forgave them. And he sent the message, meet me in Galilee. Tell the disciples and Peter. And this Easter, there is a wonderful news for us as we remember that we're failures. As we look at the cross, yes, we should see that we're failures. It's our sin that meant that Jesus had to die. The fact that we're not faithful to God. The fact that we don't even live up to what we know we should do, let alone what God tells us to do. And yet, as we feel failures, the news comes that Jesus is alive, and it turns everything upside down. And we know that Jesus, because of the cross, forgives us. He forgives us. Because Jesus died in our place, we can be forgiven. So 2 things that we can remember this morning, that Jesus turns our world upside down. He turns our sadness into joy, and we feel like failures, and yet Jesus forgives us. Isn't that wonderful news? Do you want to turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus forgives you? Isn't that wonderful? And that is the best news that we can hear if we know that we are failures. So shall we say a prayer now, and then we'll sing our final song together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is alive and the whole world has been turned upside down. Thank you that Jesus, who was crucified, has risen. Thank you that that means in the midst of a sad world, we can find this joy of knowing that death is defeated and life and light and love have conquered. And thank you that when we look at ourselves and we know that it's our failure and sin that put Jesus on the cross, we can know that in Jesus' kingdom, we are forgiven. We can be friends with you once more. Thank you so much for Easter. And please help us to live in your upside down kingdom, living your way with your joy, with your forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.